This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. In this spotlight, we're going to take a deep dive into the changes in taxation and duty that were proposed by Rishi Sunak in the October budget recently. The changes are big and will have implications, particularly for low alcohol wines. Even though overall it's an increase in taxation, I support it and think it's a very good idea. In this spotlight, we're going to have a quick look at the history of taxation in wine, and then we're going to take a deep dive into what the new proposals are, how they'll affect wines, and how they compare to the current situation, what wines are going to benefit from the taxation system, and which wines are going to be disadvantaged by this new taxation system. The UK's first taxation of alcohol was first introduced on beer. Beer duties were first introduced in 1643 and were levied on a tax on alcohol for the first time to finance the Roundhead armies in the English Civil War against Charles I's Cavaliers. By the mid-18th century, the gin craze became extremely popular, as it was much cheaper than beer to produce. Until then, everybody who could afford beer would drink it, as beer was generally considered safer to drink than water, which was often contaminated. But the gin craze meant that by 1740, six times more gin than beer was being produced, and with about 15,000 drinking establishments in London, of which half were gin shops, something had to be done. And the Gin Act in 1736 imposed a prohibitively high duty on gin, but this caused rioting, and so the gin duty was gradually reduced, and by 1742 it was abolished. A better way of managing gin was in 1751, where instead of a tax restriction on gin, producers could only sell to licensed premises. Those premises were taxed at quite a high rate at the time, and that meant that the taxation wasn't on the product, but on the premise. Today, alcohol taxation in the UK is estimated to raise £12.9 billion in tax between 2020 and 2021. And the sale of alcohol is managed through registered license holders and premises. The current taxation rates have been the whim of various chancellors who over time have pushed up taxation on alcohol as a sin tax and as a general revenue raising. So exactly what we saw from the past with the Roundheads for raising funds and the gin craze to manage production and consumption. The current rates have a large number of categories that reflect the large number of chancellors who have been tinkered with the rates over the centuries, lowering or raising them to maximise revenue, encourage particular industries. For example, whisky distillers and brewers were British-based and were often treated more leniently than imported wines. This has started to change with the development of the UK wine industry, and the proposed changes in the tax system that the Chancellor Rishi Sunak has made will give the UK sparkling wine industry a particular boost. The current duty rates in the UK have been pretty steady since February 2018, but over the last 20 years have seen a steady rise in duty. Initiated originally by Chancellor Gordon Brown, who used an annual escalator to increase tax on still bottles of wine from £1.05 back in 1997 to the current rate of £2.23. Now, we often refer to the duty on wine as being £2.23, but there is actually a large number of different taxes on wine depending on the alcohol of the wine and the type of wine. The categories are still wines between 1.2% and 4%. Another category is between 5% and 5.5%. Another one is 5.5% to 22%, that's where most wines fall into. Fortified wines have got their own taxation rate when they're between 15% and 22%. Sparkling wines have their own taxation rate between 5.5% and 8.5%, and another different rate for 8.5% to 15% for sparkling wine. So quite a lot of different wine taxations in there. And the way the government taxes wine is by price per 100 litres. And the government will say it's X pounds per 100 litres of wine. We call it pounds per hectolitre, hectare being 100 litres. Now, most producers fall into three key rates for their duty. And for a typical 750ml bottle of wine, these are still wines, 5.8 to 22%, then that's £2.23. Fortified wines are at £2.98, and sparkling wines are at £2.86. As usual, any tax or duty you pay in the UK, you've got to pay tax on that tax. In this case, 20% VAT. And most businesses also put their markup based on the cost that they purchase the wine, which includes the duty. So typically in the wine industry, for a shop anyway, you're looking at a markup of 30 and 40%. For restaurants, that markup can be anywhere from 1.5 to 4.5 times the value of the wine. So there is a massive multiplier effect. At the very least, at £2.23 and assuming a 35% markup, the actual duty total cost, if the duty wasn't there, is £3.60. That's roughly 50% more than the raw duty cost. It costs about another 50% on top of what the duty is because of the 20% VAT and the markup from the retailer. Obviously, in restaurants, it is much, much larger with their much, much larger markups. But since the total margin or cost of the duty, including VAT and markup, is variable, I'm only going to talk about the duty in the spotlight. But as a rough idea, in a high street, you're looking at about 50% more as the true cost of the duty on the wine. As early as 1997, Gordon Brown identified alcohol as a sin tax, and to increase government revenue and help manage the bin drinking problem in the UK, he steadily rose the tax on wines. Now, the problem with it is that as a member of the EU, Britain was limited to how it was allowed to tax alcohol. To protect different countries from putting up trade barriers to other EU states, it was not possible to tax alcohol on the alcoholic strength. This is because cooler parts of the EU, where it's easier to produce wines with lower alcohols, would have an unfair advantage against warmer climates where higher alcohol wines are more the norm. Unscrupulous governments may have introduced tax to exclude warmer and higher alcohol strength products, and as a result, taxation by product was allowed rather than by alcohol strength. By ratcheting up the tax on alcohol beverages in general, it was hoped to discourage overall alcohol consumption. However, once the UK left the EU, it was possible to set our own taxation system to encourage moderate consumption by increasing the taxation on higher alcohol products. And that's what the current UK Chancellor Rishi Sunak proposes to implement in 2023. The big change is from a taxation that's been based on pounds per hectolitres, you know, pounds per how much volume of wine you're drinking or buying, to a taxation system based on the amount of alcohol in the beverage. The higher the alcohol strength, the higher the alcohol taxation. Compare three wines, say 10%, 12.5% and 15% alcohol. Under the old system, they were all taxed at £2.23 for a 750ml bottle of wine. Under the new system, the tax rates would be £1.94, £2.43 and £2.91. So the higher the alcohol level in your bottle of wine, the more tax you paid. If you look at the numbers, a 10% white Zinfandel is charged almost a pound cheaper than a big Aussie red at 15%. To be honest, it's a little bit more complicated than that. The rate of pounds per alcohol level, if you like, is not the same for all alcohol strengths. In fact, it's been divided up into five bounds. 1 to 1.2%, 1.3 to 3.4%, 3.5 to 8.4%, the main one for wine, 8.5 to 22%, and above 22%. These bans have been set for all drink types. So in the past, beer would have its own set of bans, cider, wine, sparkling wine, they'd all have their own different bans with their own different duties in each band. Now, all alcoholic beverages share the same duty bans, as I said above, and in general, the rate that you pay for each band is the same irrespective of the product. So in the 1.3% to 3.4%, the duty rate is the same, whether it's beer, cider, wines and spirits. The big change is in the tax rate between 3.5 and 8.4%. Here, beer, cider, and wine and spirits are all taxed at different rates. The big winner in this new taxation system will be high-strength ciders, which are being taxed at over half the rate of beer and wine. For example, if we take a 750 ml of cider, I know it's not a standard measurement for cider, but we're going to keep everything in 750 ml because it makes my life easier for wine. A 750 ml bottle of cider at 8.4% strength will pay 55 pence in tax. Beer for the same volume and alcohol strength will pay £1.20, and wine for the same volume and alcohol strength will pay £1.42. Given the huge problems associated with unsocial drinking and problems of high-strength ciders in the UK, this seems to be very strange for it to be such an outlier and being so cheap. So I'm not sure what they're doing here, why they've made high-strength cider with all its social problems super cheap, but it's a shame that they've not had the same level all the way through, because all the other levels, you know, the 22 above 22%, 8.5 to 22, and anything below 3.4%, irrespective of the product, whether it's spirits, beers, wines, whatever, they're all taxed at the same rate. It's just that 3.5 to 8.4% range where ciders are particularly cheap, and then wine and spirits are the most expensive. This different taxation rate at different alcohol strengths does mean that there's some anomalies. So, for example, if you bought a bottle of cider, a 750ml bottle of cider at 8.4%, and compared it to a bottle of cider at 8.5%, the taxation will jump from 55 pence for an 8.4% cider to £1.65 for an 8.5% cider. That's a huge jump. Wine jumps from £1.42 to £1.64, and that's much less of a jump because these steps are a lot lower for wine than it is for cider. Also, another step up that will be quite common for beer is going from 3.4% to 3.5%. At 3.4%, you're going to be paying 21p for a 750ml bottle of beer, and at 3.5%, you're going to be paying 50p for a 750ml bottle of beer. So a huge jump up. So I expect you're going to see a lot of different beers and ciders will be reformulated to make sure they hit certain tax brackets. So there are big implications for producers in terms of trying to minimize their tax cost. For wine, historically, this has been pretty much a moot point. As a general rule of thumb, below 8.5% is not considered wine and cannot be sold as wine. If you see these drinks in the supermarkets of de-alkalized wine, they don't actually say they're wine. They just make it look like wine, and they use descriptions like berry fruits and all sorts of great descriptions. But they're not allowed to put the word wine on the bottle because they're not classed as wine. However, we learned from Professor Dr. Monica Christman that the OIV, that's the International Organization of Vine and Wine, are looking at changing the definition of wine to include lower alcohol products. Now, assuming that the UK follows this international agreement, it's likely that wines below 8.5% may start to appear in the UK market. Now, that's not to say there aren't wines under 8.5% at the moment. Some historically low alcohol wines have had special dispensation. For example, Muscat d'Asti, I've seen it at 5.5%, and it's allowed to be called wine because it was being produced and called wine before all these rules came into being. However, when the OIV come out with their new rulings, the wines below 8.5%, once approved, will benefit from a lower tax rate and also from the lower alcohol levels. And according to Dr. Monica Christman, her experiences were that lower wine products are okay as long as you've got at least 4% alcohol in them. And at 4% alcohol, the duty on a bottle of wine is only 68 pence. Now, given that the lower alcohols and difficulty experienced so far, it's a shame that these lower alcohol products are not being taxed at the same rate as beer or cider, who are getting a special price, where, remember, all the tax rates are the same for all thresholds except for between 3.5 and 8.4%. So wine is going to be at a disadvantage in these lower alcohol categories. Either way, The recent moves by the OIV and the savings made from removing alcohol will mean that I think there's going to be a huge increase in the amount of lower alcohol wines available and the opportunities to create innovative products. Now let's have a look at the big winners and losers. And sparkling wine is a product that has had a huge increase in appeal in the UK. Historically, champagne was considered for the rich only and was taxed at a much higher rate to still wines because of its status as a luxury drink. But the rise of Cava, Prosecco, and now recently Cremants from France, the UK has seen modestly priced fizzes being consumed by all. It's also the drink that's been driving the UK wine renaissance, and as such, will benefit massively from the change in taxation. Sparkling wines will be taxed at the same rate as still wines. Historically, and at the moment, a 12% sparkling wine is currently taxed at £2.86 for a bottle, but in 2023, that taxation rate is going to drop to £2.33. It will not make much of a difference to a bottle of Bolly or a Dom Perignon, but 50p is a noticeable difference in, say, a 7 quid bottle of Prosecco. So sparkling wines will be a winner, but any lowish alcohol wine will be better off. These include things like Moscato d'Asti, as I said earlier. Some wines labelled Vino Verde are quite low in alcohol. German Rieslings can come in at 8.5%, especially Spätlesers and Auslesers you see sometimes. The losers are going to be fortified wines. Currently taxed at £2.98, this will jump for a 20% alcohol port to £3.88. So I expect to see ports and Madeiras to become more expensive. Even sherries, which range in alcohol typically between 15.5% and 17%, will become more expensive. The one wine that you may not consider will increase in price, but probably will, is red wines. This is because red wines are often higher in alcohol than whites. Remember, the main structural element in a white wine is higher acidity. And to achieve higher acidity, you normally pick it a little bit earlier or you grow it in a cooler climate. And there you get higher levels of acidity, lower levels of sugar, which result in lower levels of alcohol and consequently, in the future, lower duty. But red wines have tannins, and it's essential that the tannins are fully ripe to avoid any harsh bitterness in the wines. So, as a result, red wines are often grown in warmer climates, and warmer climates often give you higher alcohols. So, expect to see a higher taxation on red wines. A 14% red wine is not an unusual wine these days, and 14% red wine will be taxed at £2.72, which is 49p higher than the current tax rate. Now, there is a point where the old taxation and the new taxation sort of overlap, and that is at 11.5%. If you buy a wine in 2023 at 11.5%, the taxation won't change. Below that, the wine will become cheaper. Above that, the wine will become more expensive. Now, given that the alcohol average of a bottle of wine is above 11.5, I would say it's more like 12.5% these days, then in general, you're going to see an increase in taxation with this new system on wine. Even in cool regions of the world where the juice doesn't get very sweet at all, it's quite common to chaptalize. Chaptalization is where you add sugar to the grape juice before fermentation, and you're allowed to increase the alcohol level by up to 2% in some regions. And that's enough to get you, even in the Loire Valley, up to 12.5%. So it's going to be very common for a lot of the wines to become more expensive under this new taxation system. What could happen, and probably will happen to some extent, is that you'll see wines made exclusively for the UK market. You're most likely to see it in supermarket branded wines like Tesco's Finest or Sainsbury's Taste the Difference. These wines are made specifically for the supermarkets, and you'll probably see a little bit less chaptalization, and the blends will be targeting slightly lower levels of alcohol so that the supermarkets can save a little bit of money. One thing I like about this taxation system, even though on average I think the tax on wine is going to go up, is it's going to give people financial incentives to create innovative lower alcohol products. With global warming and improved viticultural standards and better quality vine stock, the average amount of alcohol in wines has been creeping up steady, steady, steady over the last 20, 30 years. And there's been no downward pressure on that rise. After all, higher alcohol doesn't make a difference in price. You get a richer, riper, more bodied wine that has a richer feeling to it. And there's no downside. So as ripeness levels increased, it all went straight into alcohol. Now that there's a bit of downward pressure on price associated with lower levels of alcohol, that could lead to some innovative products. Overall, this is not a perfect system. I would have preferred that the bans for 3.5 to 8.4% were exactly the same. It didn't matter what product you were purchasing. Rate was the same for beer, wine, ciders, spirits, everything like that. But it is a lot better than what we had, and it will help send the right price signals, particularly if they lower that price band between 3.5 to 8.4% once the OIV allows those products to be called wine.